Lucy Westenra is dead. Her funeral has been held, and following it, Van Helsing and John Seward are in Seward's London club. Dracula.
Professor, you really must not in here.
I was thinking. If only they knew what I am thinking, they would not lie about a leather armchair surrounded by unread papers. They would be writing learned letters to the Thunderer and...
Be quiet.
Oh, I beg your pardon, my dear friend. Do not think I am not sad, though I laugh. The laugh he come all the same. Laugh is the king. He asked not to come or to go. He choose. And he come and go as he please. I grieve my heart away for that young girl. I give time and sleep and my heart. Yes?
Yes.
And yet, king laugh. Come and dance to a tune he play. Leading hearts and bones in the churchyard dance to the music he make. Tears burn as they fall. This irony. The so lovely lady garlanded with flowers. She looked so fair in life. One by one we wondered if she be dead. Laid in that fine marble house, in that lonely cemetery, laid with her kin and indeed her mother, and the sacred bell going toll, 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 sad and slow, and holy men pretending to read pages from holy books and never once looking on the page. For what? She is dead, is she not?
Dear Arthur's heart breaks yet.
Just so. Said he not that the transfusion of his blood had made her his bride truly?
It comforts him to feel it, yes.
Had you seen into my heart when I laugh in there? Had you seen? You would pity me the worst of all.
I'm sorry.
No need yet. She lies in her tomb, and the sun will rise over Highgate Hill. Quincy will take care of your friend down in the country, and you will go back to your work if you can. And I will see Miss Mina Murray to ask her a question or two, perhaps.
You are hiding something yet.
When we are, Professor, it is necessary to let out knowledge drip by drip, to let others expand their minds, their experience, their beliefs. So, Miss... I will leave this tomb to you, dear pupil, for the moment. Very good it was to come and meet with me from the station. You have no idea what good it does an old man to be met by such a girl as you are.
Sir, you hardly know me or what I am.
You forget. I have the letters read that you wrote to that dear child. Madam Mina, I know of your faith and your marriage and your kindness to dear Lucy, and so forgive me, but I know you a little at least.
She was such a good friend to me.
Indeed.
And Sir Arthur, Lord Godalming, as we must learn to call him, is he recovered?
He is buoyed up by good friends, by my old pupil John Seward and by Mr. Quincy, the American friend. The cathedral is very fine. May we go in?
If you wish.
It is good sometimes to be reminded of other truths, other worlds, other hopes. Such an institution, this tea in the morning, tea in the afternoon, tea in the evening. At home, we have no such customs. I like.
I think you wanted to ask me something. Something connected with Lucy's...
Ah, to the point. It's the English way of things. I want to learn from you what happened in Whitby. I know you love Lucy, and I know you care for others. In the name of that, and of her you loved, I ask you to tell me about your time together in Whitby.
I can do better, sir. I can offer you my diary. I wrote it all down. I have it ready for you. For I guessed it would be about these matters that you came to see me.
Madame Mina, what can I say? If I read it now, I may then ask you some questions?
Of course. I will leave you in peace. More tea before I go?
Thank you. No. A little tea is lovely, but excess? No, thank you. So, Miss Mina Murray, let us see into your private soul here. 8th August. Very well. Yes, begin. Lucy was very restless all night, and I too could not sleep. The storm was fearful, and as it boomed loudly amongst the chimney pots, it made me shudder. 10th August. The funeral of the poor sea captain today was most touching. We were in our seat on the headland near the grave. A cortege of boats took him up the river to the viaduct and came
Perhaps
down.
Perhaps he had seen death with his dying eyes. One of the old men came up with his dog. The dog would not come to his master by the grave, but kept a few yards off, barking, howling, and with savage eyes and hair bristling. The man took it and dragged it to the tombstone on which the seat is fixed. And instantly the dog crouched and trembled, quivering and cowering.
Here now, 11th of August, 11 o'clock p.m. I am so tired. If it were not that I have made it my duty, I would not open my diary tonight. Lucy, at dinner, seemed her old self, smiling and lively, and all her color returned. I only wish I knew if Jonathan were as happy.
Three a.m. No sleep now. Too agitated to sleep. Such an adventure. I woke to find Lucy gone. Her bed empty and the door shut but not locked. I threw on my shawl and, fearing to wake her mother, hurried
now,
from the bed.
Here. Oh, wait, here, here. When I got to the top of the steps past the abbey, I saw her. I felt as if weighed with lead, but on the seat, her white figure with something, undoubtedly something long and black, crouched over her. I called out in fright.
Lucy! I ran across the churchyard towards her. When I was near enough to see her again, she was alone, her head lying back over the seat.
Lucy?
Lucy?
Here. Yes. Yes. Same day, noon. Lucy slept till I woke her and seemed none the worse for her adventure. I was sorry to notice that my clumsiness with the brooch I used to hold the shawl to her when I brought her home had caused a hurt to her sweet neck. I must have pinched up a piece of loose skin and have transfixed it. There are two little red points. And on the band of her nightdress, a drop of blood. Now, Van Helsing, now. Oh, God give me strength. Poor Lucy.
I often walk to my husband's office at this time. We stroll home together. He needs me to be with him, you see.
I want you to know, madame, that my admiration for you is unbounded. Your diary was like sunshine. It opened a gate for me. I am dazed. I am dazzled by it. You will not understand, Madame Mina, but if ever Abraham van Helsing can do anything for you and yours, I trust you will let me know. Your husband has married one of the lights in the world, believe me.
My husband has been greatly upset again, sir.
Oh, that is not good. Not after the events he suffered.
It had to do with someone he saw. Huh? In London on Thursday last, he saw someone who recalled something that almost led to his relapse. You say you can and will help me.
Yes.
Dear God, Please tell me what I can do. The pity for Jonathan is that he is afraid. He is so afraid that maybe he is mad.
Listen to me. Sit on this wall and listen to me.
I'm so frightened.
Listen. You are to understand that what I am here for is so strange, so affur, that I cannot burden you with it. But I try to keep my mind open, like the book, even to those strange things that make one doubt if they be mad or sane. So.
I think I understand.
Your husband, he is lucky, and you, and he is not, I think, mad. Why would he think himself so?
When he knew you were coming, he said I could tell you of something. His journal, that he brought from that terrible place, all that happened, is in here. All. Maybe when you read it, you can tell me what you think.
I will read it. And then perhaps your husband and I could meet, if I may.
Have lunch with us tomorrow before you catch your train to Paddington.
Now, go to your husband and give him a nice supper and maybe a glass of wine. I will go to my hotel and read. Journal of Jonathan Harker. So, to begin at the beginning.
John Harker, welcome.
Count Dracula?
I am Dracula.
Damn it. There's a man there in the shadow with a bag.
Paper, pen. So, yeah, good, yeah. Now, Madame Mina Harker, what shall I say? I have read your husband's wonderful diary. He is a noble fellow, and let me tell you that to do as he did and go down into that room to find what he found, he is not anything but sane, I promise you. I have learned so much, I cannot know how I am to be thanking you. I am dazzled more than ever. I have some work for your husband. I will write more fully. Forgive me, lunch. Yours, the most faithful, Abraham von Helsing.
I get mystery strikes again. Lovely lady Bart's child. I get mystery strikes again.
Boy.
Thanks,
Gav.
I get mystery strikes again. Lovely lady
Bart's
child.
Oh, God. Man, God, so soon. So very soon.
Cab! Cabby!
You were deuced lucky to find me in town. I am neglecting my duty.
Then neglect it for a few hours more, my dear friend. You have read the report?
I have, yes. Why on earth should it interest
you? You want to know who did the deed? Who is the mystery lady in Highgate?
It's all a newspaper man's bid to sell newspapers, surely.
Oh, no, sir, no. We are going, and I will show you why you should be interested, pupil of mine. Sister, I ask, please.
Dr. Seward, I don't think Matron would...
Please, sister.
The child is very young. There are newspaper men
demanding... We will not tire him, I promise you, sister.
Well, very well. Through the doors and on the left. I'll show you. But be quick. Charles is in the end bed.
Thank you, sister.
Charlie? Some gentlemen to see you.
Hello, Gav. Can I go home to my mum?
Hello, Charlie. Here, I brought sweet for you.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, you want to hear about the beautiful lady, do you?
Charlie, stop telling the tale. He tells the newspaper reporters this silly story. It was a rat. Or a bat, maybe, bit you. See the teeth marks on the neck, Dr. Seward?
Mm-hmm. It was a lady. Long blonde hair and a long white robe. And like an angel, mister. No one believes me.
Oh, yes, Charlie. Oh, yes. I do.
You're in a hurry.
I am anxious, my friend. Anxious.
Where are we going, sir?
Here. We stop here and walk in here by the gate. A small space.
Cemetery? Highgate. I won't believe what I am beginning to think you...
You would never know the truth. Is your nerve failing?
Come along, then. The Westerner tomb is to the left.
Oh, I know very well where it is.
Key. Do we have a key to get into the mausoleum?
I took it after the funeral. I thought perhaps... Well, no matter what I thought. See with your own eyes. Hear with your own ears. Believe what you will. Good. So, we go in. Here, hold the candle. So, yes, there, so. Now, I will show you something, my friend. Where is it? Where? Ah, here, so here. A turn screw. Good, hold the candle steady, John.
What are you doing?
To open the lid.
This is desecration.
This is mercy, my friend. Mercy. Remember how she thanked me for keeping her from her lover. She will thank us all. Good. Now, we lift the lid, so. And with the candle we see, what do we see, my dear friend?
No, I don't believe. It can't be empty.
Oh, yes, it is empty. It is night, my friend, and the coffin can leave. Are you satisfied now?
Get me out. Get me. Let me get out.
So, who made the marks on the child? I will tell you. Dear, sweet, lovely angel, the dead Lucy.
No.
Wait. When we come next, my friend, you will bring a surgeon's bag with you. If you please, value the peace that dear girl deserved. Now, help me replace the lid and we can leave.
Empty? Good God, man, you can't expect us to believe. God damn it, that's nothing to do with our Lucy. Tell the man, Seward, tell him.
Quincy,
you have traveled, have you? In South America, for example.
Why, sure I have. Sure. So?
Tell us about the bats there, Mr. Morris.
Oh, hell, man. They're big, big bats, and they come looking for blood, and they hang on to a horse's rump or the cattle in the pampas, and they suck and suck and... Sure. You saying this kid was attacked by one of them bats?
I'm saying nothing, my American friend, nothing. But Lucy has been absent from her coffin, and we know that.
Taken. Taken, it happens. She's been stolen.
You telling us that the holes in those kids' necks and those in Lucy's neck were made by the same critter?
I'm saying much worse than that.
In God's name, what?
They were made by Miss Lucy.
No, sir. No, sir. No!
Arthur.
Lucy is undead. There is a duty before us, my friends. Arthur, my dear young friend, it is you we must ask to help first.
I cannot believe what I hear.
Then you must believe what you see.
Take care, sir. Take care.
Arthur, wait.
I can go on, and you shall know the limit of my purpose, yes?
Go on.
Miss Lucy is dead, is it not so? Yes. Hmm. Then there can be no wrong to her, but if she be not dead...
Good God. Do you mean she may have been buried alive?
No! I told you. She is of the undead. There are mysteries man can only guess at, which age by age they may solve in part only. We are on the edge of such.
What would you do if you found her?
I cut off the head of dead Miss Lucy.
Not for the earth. Oh! Why do you torture me, sweet girl?
You should know, Sir Arthur, that I loved that child. Between us we gave blood and skill and honor, and if my death can do her good, even now she shall have it freely. I want you to come and to see and to decide then. I beg you.
Courage, Arthur.
John, you brought the things I asked.
Yes.
Now, Arthur, your English upper lip, sir. I have the key.
You were all here for the funeral, and you saw the dear child buried.
This ain't right.
I swear to you, she will bless the things we do for her now.
So, John, please be good enough to help me unscrew.
Hold on, my friend.
I cannot go through with this. I cannot.
You must. Hold up a lantern, Quincy. Are you ready? Empty. Lordy, Lord. Now, this is a mystery indeed, sir.
There are children which have suffered. Always at night, like now. Only at night the undead can move. And there are things that can hold them back. Garlic, for one.
Garlands of garlic. The crucifix.
Yes, my boy, yes. Now, I will seal the tomb that the undead may not return.
Why? Let her rest in peace.
That we shall do if you permit, but first you shall see her. John, close the coffin and screw down the lid. I will take you back with me. Come along, Arthur.
Quincy, be good enough to help our friend.
Is he crazy, John? Or am I?
I don't know. If he isn't, then we owe it to that poor girl to help her. If even half what he says is true, and she is undead.
Let's get out. This place stifles me.
What are you doing?
This wafer is the sacred host. I will close the tomb so that the undead cannot enter.
You can lock the door, Professor.
Good. John will lock. I will use this wafer, which I brought by special indulgence.
Host indulgence?
Professor Helsing, surely, as a man of science, you cannot...
There are things you know nothing of. Things in this world, out of this world, part of this world. I seal the door with the pieces of wafer. So... And our undead will not be able to return, even though the coming of the dawn will force her.
So, now?
We wait. We wait and watch. And are very still.
Long?
Wait. Listen. Look, over there. By the trees, you see?
It's her. Lucy.
Watch your lives. Do not move now. This, the undead... She has the child still.
Stop her. Stop her in God's name.
She's bending her face to the child's neck. No. Van Helsing, stop her.
See her face? See her mouth in the moonlight? She...
Blood. Dear sweet Lucy, and... Blood. Oozing from her mouth and over the grave clothes. Her lips are crimson and glistening. No. No.
Uncover the lantern. Now. Now she can see us.
She's dropped. God above, see her eyes.
Lucy. Lucy.
Arthur, stay
Lucy.
Here, sir.
Arthur. Arthur. Leave them and come to me. My arms are hungry for you. And we can rest together. Come, my husband. Come to me.
Oh, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and in the sight of this crucifix, I forbid you.
She can't get in. Look at her. She can't get in.
Am I to proceed with my work? Tell me, Arthur, you must tell me, my friend. Am I to proceed?
Do as you will, my friend. This opera... Do what you must.
Very well. Look to your friend, John. Quincy, see to the child. I shall remove the host from the door so that she may go to her resting place. See? She changes form and shape and... gone.
But
The undead, my dear friend, exist on different levels. She is gone, I assure you. Oh, you are in bitter waters, my child. In the next hour, you will have begun to pass out of them and have drunk of sweet waters. Now, John, come with me and bring with you the tools I asked you to bring.
I must see her. If she be there, I must see her. John, take the candles and light them from the lantern. Good. Help me take the lid from the coffin.
Very well.
And don't be afraid of what you see, Arthur. What we do now is from the lore and experience of the ancients. It comes down the ages to us how to deal with the powers of the undead. They are cursed with immortality. They cannot die, and only add to the tally of victims age by age. So the circle widens like ripples in a pond. Arthur, had you met that kiss, you would, in time, when you died, have become Nosferatu, as they call it in Eastern Europe, and you, too, would have made more and more of those undeads that fill us with horror. Those childs, she suck the blood. They not yet will turn, but if she live on undead, they lose more and more of the blood and become in her power. If she die, the tiny wounds on them disappear. And if we do the things we have to do, she will rest with the angels as she should.
Amen to that, sir. Amen to that. I've wrapped the child in my coat. She'll be fine.
Arthur, will you strike the first blow, my friend? Set her free. Know that it was your hand that sent her to the stars. The hand of him that loved her best. The hand of him she chose. Will you do it?
Tell me and I will do it. I must do it. Though it break my heart, I shall not falter. Just tell me.
Brave lad. A moment's courage. It will be done. The stake, John. This stake is of holly. It must be driven through her. It will be fearful for you to be not deceived. Do that as we pray for you, and we can do the rest.
Give me the stake. This is not Lucy, but a fiend. The blood on her mouth, the sharp teeth over her lip. The blood trickles even now from the corners. She seems almost to smile at it. Where? Hurry, man!
Over her heart, yes. So, and the hammer now. I have the book, I drew the power. Begin. And when you are done, we take her head from her and her heart from her body and stuff the mouth of the lovely head with garlic. Begin!
Almighty God, our sister, and we commit her body to its resting place, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. The Lord bless her and keep her. The Lord make his face to shine upon her and be gracious unto her. The Lord lift up his countenance upon her and give her peace.
In episode 5 of Dracula by Bram Stoker, adapted for radio by Nick McCarty, the cast was as follows. Dr. John Seward was played by Peter Blythe, Van Helsing by Finlay Welsh, Mina by Phyllis Logan, and Arthur by Crawford Logan, Quincy by Paul Burchard, and Lucy by Sharon Maharaj. Sister was played by Alexa Kesselaar, and Charlie by Rosemary Evans. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The theme and incidental music was composed and created by Malcolm Clark in the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. The producer, in our Edinburgh studios, was Hamish Wilson.